Good morning.
Brought this with me. I'll just start out here.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning and have a chance to share God's word with you. We're going to talk this morning about studying God's word, how we should study, things we need to think about as we read the Word of God. As Will read a while ago, Paul told Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's valuable to us for several things, for correction, for reproof, for training, for instruction in righteousness. It's all valuable. Before we talk about how we study, let me share a story with you. When I first moved to, we first moved to Lafayette, Indiana, several years ago, and we were setting up a new store there. So there were several hundred employees there and several members of management, and we had 5 weeks to get those stores set from an empty building to looking like a brand new store. So as we could, it wasn't open yet, so we could go eat lunch all together if we wanted to, which we did most days. We only had to leave a couple of people there to watch the store, to answer the phone. So we're going to lunch. We wanted to eat lunch, be back in an hour. So you got to do that pretty fast. You know, it's hard to do some places at a sit-down restaurant. So we chose Golden Corral. It was right down the street. It was quick. It was easy. You could pick and choose what you wanted. Back then, buffets were the big thing. As long before COVID had ever been thought of, so buffets were very popular. So we walk in there. There were about 8 members of management. We also had 3 interns with us. Purdue University was in that town. And we had interns from the university there, business students, hopefully learning how to apply all that knowledge that they got in school. And when we walked in, I happened to be first in line. I don't know, maybe I was hungry that day. I happened to be first in line. I stepped up to the cashier and I said, buffet and a drink. She said, okay. Told me the price, I paid her. Moved a little to the side. Waited for the rest of them, and the next one in line was one of the interns. And she said a buffet and a drink, and the cashier told her a price. She frowned and said, well, that's more than you charge him, as she pointed at me. And the cashier said, well, he got a senior discount. And I was only 50 at the time, but I already had white hair. And that little cashier looked like she was about 18, so to her, I probably did look like I qualified for a senior citizen. But when the intern said that to her, when she told the intern that, the intern looked at me and said, well, he's no senior citizen, and was kind of making a deal out of it, you know. And I loved this little cashier. I liked her style. Didn't bother her a bit. She said, well, there's a line here, and I don't want to re-ring him, so he's just going to get a good deal today. So I thought, well, that's good. So we all went and sat down, and people talked and joked about that for a while. The next day, we got to go to lunch again. So people said, well, let's just go back to Golden Corral. It's good. It's fast. You pick and choose what you want. And it's quick. So we were in line again. And there's two cash registers there, 2 cashiers, 2 lines. The line we were in, as we move up there, the girl that had waited on us the day before, she was at the other register. She had her back to us. So when I stepped up to the cashier and again said, buffet and a drink, the cashier on the other side looked around, pointed at me, and yelled rather loudly, "He's no senior citizen." So the cashier just kind of laughed. She didn't know what he was talking about. Everybody else around laughed too, only most of them didn't know what they were laughing about, but it seemed to be a big deal whether or not I was a senior citizen. And so I got charged full price and we went on. And didn't seem like a big deal to me. That should have been the end of the story, but it wasn't. Later that day at work, I passed by this intern and I asked the intern, "So how's your day going?" Just making conversation. "How's your day going?" And she said, "Well, it was okay this morning, but this afternoon, not so good." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" And she said, "Everybody's giving me a hard..." Usually when people say everybody, it don't mean everybody, but that's what she said. "Everybody's giving me a hard time about your senior discount." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." This one lady said to me, "I can't believe you cost Lex his senior discount." She said, then another lady I walked by said, "Did you really cost Lex his senior discount?" And so I walked by somebody later in the day, a couple of people working there. This lady said, "Hey, I heard you lost your senior discount." You know, I didn't even know I had a senior discount, but I lost it. And people were, in her words, everybody was giving her a hard time about it. So what I thought was a non-story kind of became the talk of the store for a couple of days there. It kind of took a life of its own and just kept talking about it. So much so that 24 years later, I still remember it. The whole point is, and some of you by now are thinking, "Well, what does eating at Golden Corral have to do with the scriptures?" Well, I want to ask this question. Do we treat the scriptures like a buffet? Is it like this big smorgasbord where we can just go through there and pick out what we want and let it say whatever we want, make it say whatever we want? It's kind of like statistics, you know, statistics. They say you can make statistics prove anything, you know. The Bible's almost that way. You can make the Bible say a lot of things that it don't really say if you're just reading certain verses and pulling them out of context. I want us to think, too, you know, when we think about studying the Word of God and making it say things, I want us to think about us. We know certain denominations do that. We know that. A lot of religious groups have different beliefs about the Bible, read the same book and interpret it different ways. For example, there's groups that handle snakes in a worship service. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that says when Jesus, it's in Mark 16, I guess, when Jesus sent the disciples, the apostles, out into the world, he said, "Here's how you're going to know them. They shall pick up vipers, and it won't hurt them. You're going to drink deadly poison, and it won't hurt them." And somebody has taken that verse and applied it to us today. Like, we're not true worshipers if we're not playing with snakes. I won't get into that today because that's a study in itself. I could talk half an hour about why that says what it does and doesn't say exact. It doesn't mean exactly what it says. It's not a command for us to be handling snakes. It's not a command for us to be drinking poison. But some people think otherwise. The thing is about any subject, You have to read everything the Bible has to say about that subject. That's the important thing to remember. There's a verse that says, for example, I'll give you an example here. There's a verse that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's pretty simple. That's pretty direct. Sounds good. Exactly what does believe mean? Is there other things that we're supposed to do? Well, that verse in Mark 16:16, it adds something to that. It says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You see, you can't just read that one little verse and say, all you got to do is believe. It doesn't work that way. Let's look at another example. Let's look at an example. The example of Jesus Christ's arrest. When Jesus was arrested, and the person we're going to read, it's in Matthew chapter 26. And you don't have to turn there if you don't. We're just going to read it real quickly. It's in there four times. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, with him, a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. Then they come up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who was with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Well, we know all that happened, and right now that's all we know. Some guy with Jesus cut off a man that was with the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear. Let's go on to the book of Mark chapter 14. And we'll see what it says about that same story. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, with him a crowd. I'll skip a verse or two here. And when he came, he went up to him at once and he said, Rabbi, and he kissed him, and they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Pretty much the same story as Matthew. Let's see what Luke said about it. Luke in chapter 22 and verse 47 through 53. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd. The man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And those who were around saw him, saw what would follow. They said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? See, the apostles still didn't really understand what was going to happen to Jesus and what was going to go on here. Shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. So you catch what's going on there. Now we know which ear it was. We've been told he got his ear cut off. Now we know it's his right ear. To get everything in this story, you got to read it all. Luke was a physician by trade. Perhaps he found it necessary to say that Jesus healed that man's ear. I picture him picking up an ear up off the ground, touching. The Bible doesn't say that exactly. It just says he touched him and healed his ear. So let's look at John 18. John 18. See what he says about it. Jesus said to him, whom do you seek? This is chapter 18, and I'm about verse 5. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I'm he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." Let the apostles go, the disciples go. That was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then, here's where the story gets interesting. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. So now we know who did it. It was Peter. By the way, if somebody's talking or if you're thinking about the disciples and somebody said something or somebody did something and you don't know who it was, Peter's probably a good guess. He was always doing something, getting mixed up in different things. So Peter cut off his ear, his right ear. And then the rest of that verse says the servant's name was Malchus. So now we learn even more. You see the point here? You see what we can learn from that? You need to read everything the Bible says about a subject before you know everything we can know about the subject. We started out with the guy got his right ear, got his ear cut off, and then we found out, well, it's his right ear. Then we found out Jesus healed it. Then we found out that it was Peter that did it. And then we found out that the guy that he did it to was Malchus. But we had to read what it says about it. That's what we need to remember about the scriptures as we study. Back to the buffet thing. When we're reading scripture, we can't pick and choose what we want. We can't pick and choose what we want to read. We got to read it all. It's all or none. You either believe it or you don't believe it. We believe that to be a child of God, there's things you have to do. And really, we always said there's five things. I kind of think there's six. But let's just look at this. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you read everything that the Bible says about salvation, that's what you'll find that needs to be done. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. I might add, live a faithful life. Live faithfully the rest of your life. So, what we have to watch here, and we're going to read about the Pharisees here in just a minute, scribes and Pharisees. They paid too much attention to the letter of the law, to all the little rules, and did not pay attention to things that Jesus said were more important. Don't neglect those things. You have to be obedient to the word of God, but then there's other things that we have to do. What did Jesus say when he was asked, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And it's right here in Matthew. It was close here a minute ago. What did Jesus say when asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he said this. He didn't mention all the rules, by the way. He just said this. Here's the greatest thing you need to remember. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is a great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Jesus, he didn't mention the rules that the Pharisees were so strict about. He didn't even mention that. He just said, love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. Do we do that? Do we love our neighbor? I hope so. We have to be careful that we're not too much like the scribes and Pharisees. And I'm certainly not saying that we are. But I'm saying we have to avoid that appearance to other people. In Matthew 23, verse 23, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." The scribes, well, they were writers. We didn't have copy machines back then like most of us have in our offices today and a lot of us in our homes. The scribes had to rewrite everything. They had to copy everything. They spent hours and days and weeks copying a Bible, writing all these scriptures down, transcribing this. The Pharisees were a sect of the Jews that were known for legalism. They followed all the rules to the letter. That's what they attempted to do, and that's what they intended to do. And they added a few of their own. There were some sort of man-made traditions in there that the Pharisees said you had to do. And so this is the group that Jesus is talking to, and he calls them hypocrites. In the very first line, he calls them hypocrites. "For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." You follow all the rules. You appear to be very religious people, but yet you've neglected justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have done that, and I'm back to the scripture here. "This you ought to have done without neglecting the others." He said you got to follow the rules. You got to be obedient to God's will. You know, be obedient to the commandments of God. But you still have to remember your relationships with other people. Your relationships with other people. He said you ought to have done this without neglecting the others. And then he said, "You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." Straining a gnat and swallowing a camel. In biblical days in that area, well, a camel was the biggest animal they think of. They knew. It's the biggest one they knew. Today, have you heard it said, swatting at gnats when you're getting run over by an elephant? Said in business sometimes. Paying attention to things that don't matter and neglecting the things that really do matter. When we look at our lives, and we talked about being obedient to the Word of God, and we know we have to do that, but when we think about the way we'll be judged, what will be judged? When we learned, we study, we need to know the commandments of God. We need to study that and understand what His will is for us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." There's three areas. There's really three areas of our life that will be judged on. And that's obedience, conduct, and faithfulness. We're going to consider those. Obedience to the will of God. That's just the start of our walk with God. Obedience is we hear the word, we believe the word, we repent, we confess our sins, and we're baptized. That's obedience to the will of God. And we can't just stop there. That's just where our journey begins. Our Christian walk begins with that obedience. Then, the next thing I think about is our conduct. How do we conduct our lives? How do we treat other people? How do we interact with other people? Do people we're around, do they see us as being different? Do they know we're Christians? When we think about what we do, the Bible says God not only knows what we do, He knows the motive. He not only knows what we did, He knows why we did it. That's a lot to think about. Did we love our neighbor? We love God, but did we love our neighbor? I know some of them are kind of hard to love. That's just a fact. Just a fact. Some of them are. He didn't put any exceptions on that. When he said love your neighbor, he didn't say love your neighbor if you approve of their lifestyle. What about that? What about somebody that's living in what we might call an alternative lifestyle? Do you love them? I'm asking it now, and we can think about it. What if Jesus asked you that someday? What if he asked you that? Did you love that neighbor? Those are things we have to think about. Things we have to think about. Service to our fellow men. You know, in our conduct and how we serve other people, it's noticed and it's well known. Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 40, he said, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Helping other people that are in need of help, and we see that need, and sometimes, unfortunately, we don't react to that. Jesus said, Matthew 26, if you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, it's just like you did it to me. So we need to think more about that. We need to consider that when we help somebody, it's like doing it for Jesus. It's like doing it for Jesus. And then the other thing, obedience, conduct, the other thing that will be judged is faithfulness. Again, the obedience to the commandments of God, that's just the start. There are other commandments in there that are just important, just as important. And Jesus said they're the greatest. They're the greatest commandments. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we get reminded about this. It says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. It starts with that obedience, and then how we conduct our lives, how we develop our relationships with God and with other people, are things that are important that we can let slide. As you leave here today, what I'd like for us to think about as we leave here today, do you treat the Word of God like a buffet? Are there things in there that, well, here's a section on salvation. Oh, yeah, I want a big helping of that. We want that salvation. Here's one that says, treat your neighbor like yourself. Do we do that one or do we skip it? Remember, don't treat the Word of God like a buffet. We can't do that. We believe it all or none. It's all or none. So I'd like for us to think about that as we leave today. I'd have to say, I think about it some. 24 years later, I still remember that day in Golden Corral, you know. Can't treat the Bible like that. Today, as we're here, if you have something in your life that you would like to have made known to the congregation, we would invite you to come and make that be known. If there are those here who have not been baptized and would want to put Christ on in baptism, we are prepared to do that. And if you are subject in the invitation today in any way, we would ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.